Here's Brother Moore.
Thank you. I also want to welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study this morning. As I usually do, I want to remind you to get a Bible and check the scriptures with us. And let's read together. If you can't do that, if you don't have a Bible or you can't check it with me, then I would remind you to get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the scripture references. And then study them for yourself and see whether these things be true. Would you turn in your Bible with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to read with me in Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 because of the context. It is important to me that you see and understand the nature and the attitude of these Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world," so forth and so on. Now, these Ephesians were dead, not physically, obviously. They were dead to the things of God. That is, these people did not believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They believed in idolatry. They prayed to a female in heaven called Diana. And so they didn't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore, they had no access to God at that point. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin." In other words, a sacrificial offering had to be made before these people could approach God. And yet they had no way, they didn't even believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the Levitical priesthood offered the sacrifices that were required for the people of Israel to get to God. But these Ephesians didn't believe in Almighty God. Therefore, they had no sacrifice for their sin. And so they were outside the realm of access to God, which is through the priesthood. The priesthood offered the blood sacrifices. And through those blood sacrifices, men were able to approach unto God. But these Ephesians were dead in trespassing. That is, they were outside. They were dead to the things of God. So they couldn't walk in any ordinances. They were dead to them. In the nature, children of wrath, even as others. Then the demon possessed, and they were children of wrath. They were fulfilling the desires of their flesh and of their mind. And so, they had no way to come to God in prayer. If they would have built an altar to God, they would have had to have offered a sacrifice. And yet, they were forbidden to do that. God had said, "I'm going to put my name at Jerusalem, and you'll bring your sacrifices there." That's where the priesthood was. And so when Israel came with their sacrifices, they went to Jerusalem, and the Levitical priesthood offered their blood sacrifices for them. But these Ephesians had no access to God because they couldn't do that. Why? Because they didn't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anyone listening to my voice that believes in any God other than the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ is lost and without hope in this world. Any person that bows before some idol somewhere. I saw some people the other day, young people, run to an altar of sorts with the God they worshiped there. And they began to cry unto that God. And I thought, how pitiful. Here we are looking, this is seen around the world. And this says to God, that idol that they were running to there. These Ephesians had no access to God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And the only bloodshed that can take away your sins today is the blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the only means you have of getting to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you worship a God and Jesus Christ is not his son, you have no access to God. You're lost. And demon-possessed and walking in the wrath of Almighty God. Back in the passage, verse 4, but God, which in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then Jesus Christ himself offered a sacrifice at Calvary whereby you can claim him as your Lord and Savior. And even though you're a sinful individual as these people were, and all of us are likened to the same thing in the Bible, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None good, no, not one. Not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So all need a sacrifice. Means of getting to God for forgiveness was provided by the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Now, where is the problem? Well, the Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Adam sinned, and the nature of Adam came to you. Now, so you were born with a nature that is evil. You were born with a nature that is exceedingly sinful. And if you didn't fulfill the desires of your flesh, if you refrained yourself and controlled yourself and didn't commit the sins that a lot of people in the world do, you still would end up in hell without Jesus Christ unless you trust him as your Savior. Why? Because it is by your sin, S-I-N, sin as a nature, that you're separated from God. Now look at this thing again in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins. He loved us even when we were dead in sins. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So then, we that trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior were identified in the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary. God sent his Son into the world. Jesus Christ on Calvary identified with our sin over here. We were born here. We leave the world there, so in here is our sin. Jesus Christ identified himself with us and became sin for us. And so now we look back to Calvary and identify ourselves with Jesus Christ, death for our sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Well, Jesus Christ died to pay the wages for our sin, so we identify in his death. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him as our Lord and Savior. That being the case, then, being identified in his death, we died judicially at Calvary. We were identified in his burial. So therefore, we died and was buried. But we were identified in the quickening of Christ. We were quickened together with Christ. So we became alive in Christ in that tomb. We were raised from the dead in Christ, ascended up with Christ, and are seated together right now at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. But for you who don't believe in the eternal security of a believer, for you who don't believe that all of your sins were put away and paid for and forgiven at Calvary, you've got a problem with this. We were quickened together with Christ. God raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. But if I look back, the Bible says that God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man that he'd created there, put Adam in there, and he said, in effect, Adam, you can eat of every tree in this garden but one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Well, Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He rebelled against God. Rebellion is sin, and by that sin, by that rebellion, sin as a nature entered into the world. And so God ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but he lived over 900 years later. God said, Adam, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So people make up all kinds of stories to keep God from having contradicted himself there. In the day you eat thereof, Adam, you shall surely die. But Adam lived over 900 years. So along comes somebody, and he looks over in 2 Peter, and he said, well, I see in 2 Peter that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So Adam, in other words, he died within that 1,000-year period, so he died in that day. Somebody says, well, his spirit died. But that's not the issue here. What is the issue? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. So to keep from killing Adam that very day, he called him over, and God took an animal. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And God took an animal. Adam put his hands on the head of that animal, identifying himself with that animal. And God killed that animal, shed the blood of that animal as a substitute for Adam, and took the skin, the hide of that animal, and made clothing for Adam. But you know what? It didn't change his nature. Even though his sin is forgiven, even though he can fellowship with God through a blood sacrifice, but his nature remained the same. So what happened? He had to be put out of the Garden of Eden. He had a sinful nature, and therefore, with that sinful nature, he couldn't stay in the presence of Almighty God. So God put him out. And yet the Bible says that we were crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, quickened together with Christ, resurrected with him, ascended up, and are now seated with him at the right hand of the Father. There is no way you could be seated with him at the right hand of the Father if you're still accountable for your sins. There is no way that God could permit you to sit there and be in His presence in heaven, spiritually speaking, unless all your sins are wiped out, unless all your sins are gone. For if He did that, then it would not have been right. He would be held accountable for putting Adam out of His presence if He let you come in there and sit down now as a result of your repentance and confession. I think about it a lot, about when I was a child, when I was a boy. I lived on a farm up in Alabama for 19 years. The first 19 years of my life, my daddy was a farmer, and I lived on that farm. I was thinking about this morning, about me back then. As far back as I can remember, little boy, growing up there, I remember that sin was my nature. I didn't know about this back then, but that didn't change the fact of my desires and my lusts. I was very sinful. I desired to fulfill the lust of my flesh back there. I lived in a situation where I saw animals every day of my life and their activities. And I knew their method of multiplication and so forth. And early in my life, I desired things that are wrong. Early in my life, I lied to keep from getting a whipping. I cheated. All of these things were true. Why were they true of me? Nobody taught me out there in my very earlier years to do these things. I was told not to. I was carried to church regularly. My daddy was a deacon in the church there. My granddaddy was a deacon in that church. My brothers and my sister were in that church. I went to church regularly or was carried there. And I was taught, don't do this, don't touch that, don't drink that, it's wrong to do this, and on and on and on. But that didn't stop me from wanting that. I desired early in life to do all those things that I was told not to do. And so it is with you. You may have a pious attitude about it and don't want to admit that it's true. I've known a lot of people that are like that. They're just as exceedingly sinful as I was and have been all my life. But they don't want to admit that. There was a man that went to work for my daddy after I was relatively grown up. I was a teenager. And what I didn't know about living in sin, that man taught me. And the things that he taught me about, I wanted. I desired that. And when I went to high school, I desired that. If I went to a country dance, I didn't dance around the floor there with a woman because I loved the rhythm of the music. I danced around the floor with a woman because I wanted to hold her in my arms. Why? because I was born with the nature to commit sin. I was born with the desire to do bad. I was born with a desire to go wrong, rebel, lie, cheat. All of those things were inside of me. And I joined the Navy to get off of that form. I joined the Navy to get out there and fulfill my desire and fulfill my lust and so forth. And that's what I did. And there's some of you. That's one of your main problems right now. You've never been able to come to the point that you humble yourself and say, the real truth of the matter is I am absolutely no good. You can't really say, the real problem is that I'm a sinner by nature and I'm a sinner by practice and I love sin. You can't say that. Why, the Bible says, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, Moses did so and so. Well, I didn't know back there that the Bible says that sin was pleasurable. But I found out that it is. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about that you're a sinner. I'm talking about these Ephesians are sinners. I'm talking about that they were born in sin. I'm talking about they were dead in trespasses and sin. They had no sacrifice. You don't have any sacrifice unless you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For it is His blood and His blood alone that can save you. These people were led by the Spirit of the Prince of the Power of the Air. So are you. So is every religious person in the world today who does not trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're led by a demoniac spirit and they worship religion. I don't know the number of people that I've asked, are you saved, and had them to tell me the name of a religious system. To some, I've said, are you saved? They say, I'm a Baptist. To somebody else, sir, may I ask you, are you saved? Well, I'm a Methodist. How about you, ma'am? Are you saved? What do you mean, am I saved? I'm a Catholic. Why do people tell you of a religion when you ask them about their salvation? Evidently, because that's what their confidence is in. That's what their trust is in. But if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've never looked back to Calvary and realized that He died for your sins on Calvary and paid for your sins on Calvary, and that God forgave you of your sins at Calvary, then you're dead in trespasses and sins, and you're in His wrath for having rejected Him. Notice something about these people that is absolutely overwhelming. In verse 6, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The passage refers to a time in the future out there, but it also refers to right now. How can anybody in the world today see the grace of God? They can see the grace of God through the testimony of those that have trusted Christ and Him alone for their salvation. Look in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is not of works. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. That is, God was merciful unto you and gave His Son on Calvary in order that He could receive you. But He cannot receive you into His presence unless your sins are all paid for. Adam could not stay in God's presence. Why? the blood that he offered couldn't take away his sin, the Old Testament scripture says. And so God put him out there. God can't take you into his presence today without being held accountable for putting Adam out. So how can you get to heaven? You can't unless you trust Christ as your Savior. Going to the altar and confessing your sins is not dying. There is no shedding of blood in that. Going down front and a preacher leading you in a sinner's prayer, that's not dying. The only access to heaven is Jesus dying on Calvary for your sins. Can you be saved? Yes, just as these Ephesians. The Bible says that God Almighty gave his Son to die for sinners. He died for the ungodly, he said, and he died for enemies, he said. These people here were without hope and without God, being dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world, fulfilling the desires of their flesh and their mind, and were the children of wrath. And yet, God quickened them together with Christ and raised them up together with Christ, having forgiven them all their trespasses. It can be true of you. How? By claiming Christ as your Savior today. Receive him right now. Trust him right now. And never again trust your works to get you into the presence of God. Thank you for watching today. Until next time.